This is the Better Architecture Podcast, and you're listening to Season 2, Design Media India 2024 edition of The Talks.
Hello everyone, this is your host Shubhayan, and a warm welcome to Episode 4 of the Season 2 of The Talks, that is Design Media India 2024 edition. Today my guest is Architect Mahfooz Ali. Mahfooz Da is an alumni of my design school. He is a landscape architect based out of Australia and is also an established comic artist. He goes by the name Malis on social media, and anyone following him will understand his punchy tone and his quirky sense of humor. Welcome to the show, Mahfooz Da. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. All good. Yeah, it's quiet over here. I'm enjoying it. A little bit winter this time.
That's really great to hear. Yes, it's cold in the southern hemisphere as of now. Before moving forward, now I request my audience to head to the description to check out Mahfooz Da's complete bio. That will just help you to take the maximum out of this conversation. And with that, we will come to the topic, that is design media. So how do you look at this particular subdomain of this field? The word media provides a larger understanding of the entire domain in itself with respect to architecture and design. So what is your perception of how media works in architecture, or say not just architecture but design as an umbrella term?
Actually, honestly said, I haven't heard about this design media much before you told me. After that, I was looking into it, what design media called. But generally from architecture, a lot of people goes to design media, what I found, like to magazines, to a lot of animations and everything. But when I was doing architecture, I had no clue about that, which is kind of our syllabus, and we grew up, we didn't know about those things. So I think that in our syllabus, we don't have much focus that what design media things we can take up after architecture. But eventually, we grow up with that. Like we go to somewhere else and we think something, learn something, and then eventually maybe somebody thinks, okay, I love this, how the magazine works, I work in that. But actually it's not a structure. It's just we follow things, whatever happens with our life.
Yes, exactly. So I'd like to thank you for your honest response here about your not knowing much about it, which, I mean, again, as you clarified, is because in our curriculum, we aren't taught about it. Well, it's a different issue that you have graduated quite long back, but the fact that even today, we do not find any media education or awareness in the course structure. Like, I can understand that we being from an orthodox gharana of education, B college is quite old-fashioned till date, but then again, to say it like that, none of the colleges actually have media studies as an integrated component.
Yes, everyone.
It is a national phenomenon. So, and that is a solid observational takeaway for me. But then taking a cue from what you said back there, that a good lot nowadays is going into media from architecture. So on that line, do you think architecture and media are connected? If one needs to look at the relationship between two, then how would you respond?
I think they are pretty connected. I think architecture helps us to get in media better, because when we go into architecture, like in our syllabus, we know how to case study, how to present those things, how to look into different projects. Like you can have a hospital, and the next project you can have a residential, next one you can have a station or something. So you are studying a lot about those things, so you have an overview about all the things, which helps. I think in that sense, I think architects are quite blessed. Like I think like all the world, I think they know quite better about a lot of the different things. So that thing helps. And then when we go to somewhere and we see that someone is working on that, then we think that, okay, I can do that. But the syllabus actually helps. And sometimes architecture in our practice, in our offices also can help that, because I can feel that from my experience. Like I was in morphogenesis last 3 years when I was working in Delhi. And it is a lot of pressure. So like thousands of projects every day, you are doing some competition. Yeah, competition also another thing which you have a lot of creativity to like indulge in. But what I learned that to work there with different architects, different directors, I need to come up with stories about my concepts and my work, and especially for these competitions also. If otherwise, without the stories, you can't actually go through the project. Like, you, when you have a strong concept and story, you can take it everywhere, from a planting plan to your material, everywhere. So that time, I think I came up with this idea of stories, and eventually that thing helped me in my cartoon, because when I think about the cartoon, I think those as a architectural kind of a submission. So I have to come up with an innovative idea, I have to come up with a good presentation, and I have to come up with a storytelling through that. So it's kind of architecture will help me to do that. Without architecture, maybe I couldn't do this ever.
Absolutely, yes. So the key takeaways for me would be how a training in architecture, the presentations, workflow, storytelling, creating narratives are a good help in media work as well.
Mm. Stories, yeah.
So then taking this discussion forward to the next step, to talk of your specific choice of media as an expression, cartoons or a painting, if I say, because you're not technically making comics, but being an ardent follower of your works, what you're doing is delivering one story at a time, one nostalgia, one memory, one thread at a time, and packaging that with one simple, easy flowing piece of drawing and putting it out. So my question is, why this specific form of expression? I mean, one impactful cartoon at a time, and it says so damn much. The familiarity of it, the way we can relate to it. So why this form of expression, and why not something else?
One, surely that comes from because when I was working full time as architect, I'm still working full time as a landscape architect, so I don't have much time to do painting or so this like cartoon, which I can think in my back of the mind all through the day, but it takes around 30 minutes maximum to do that. So one is that, like, I can do that with my profession. So it helps me to keep both the time thing, which helps me to make this cartoon. I think that is the reason why I chose it, yeah.
And would that be the only reason for you choosing cartoons, or maybe it's one of the reasons?
Yeah, maybe one of the reasons, because like last time I went home and I was going through some of the old, very old notebooks of mine, and from class 10 or something, I saw some cartoons. So I said, oh, I used to do from that time, like, so it took me from that class 10 to like that to do every day about cartoons. So, and actually, yeah, that the Tintin, Asterix, we grew up with those things. So we didn't have much options at that time. So we have only Annamala or Shuktara. We used to see those things, and that was kind of a focus. So I think, yeah, everyone liked that. And yeah, and then when I went to Delhi, my boss was kind of a neighbor to Mario Miranda, Freddy Rivero. So he knew that I didn't knew Mario Miranda before that. So he bought one of his big book. And so, yeah, I quite like that how Mario Miranda used architecture with the cartoon. Like, his architecture detail is like marvelous. Like, you have every detail of the buildings and still you have the humor in front of that. I quite like that. I use those things in my architecture presentations too, like inspired from him. And then eventually, yeah, I tried to do more detailed work using architecture, like buildings, everything in my work. And yeah, so I kind of sometimes I kind of mix those things like architecture and cartoon in my profession. And I have to help to some of the clients. Like one of the presentation I can remember, it was with Morphogenesis, and the client was like very high profile client. She has a house in Janpath Road, so that kind of, and she has to make a big garden, but everybody was throwing an idea, and she didn't like anything. So I got an idea of using cartoon. I drew up a like 15 kind of slides about happiness, how garden can bring happiness to you. So one tree, one flower. So everything I have given through the cartoons, and it was like 20 slides. Nothing, it's like very simple, the happiness cartoon kind of thing, like the black and white one. And after that, she was happy with that. Like the whole concept, and she was so happy. So sometimes it worked. The narrative, it is a narrative actually, yeah.
Okay, I think that is a very positive and happy occurrence. So, and again, it makes one reflect on the importance of small pieces of meaningful efforts and actions in bringing joy to someone's lives. Such a small thing like cartoons drawn on spot becomes the tool to bring happiness to the client and, well, crack the deal, huh? Well, then how has the journey been? I mean, your page, Mali, is hugely popular on social media channels like Facebook and Instagram with an ardent fan following. But as I can recall, that wasn't always the way. So if you can brief us a little bit on the journey.
Actually, I haven't thought about making a page or something like people will see it. It was only for me, actually. I used to do sketches for like full my architectural time. Like I can remember I had like 48 sketchbooks after when I finished my architecture. I used to do that. And then I went to Sept Ahmedabad. Then also it's like Sept Ahmedabad actually is kind of enlightenment, where I mixed up with other parts of the country. It's kind of more, we introduce something to them, they introduce something to us. So it happened there. And then when I came into Delhi for work and used to do like give greetings card for our office colleagues for their birthdays. And it started like that. And yeah, so it's kind of started like that. And I thought, okay, whatever I've done, I have to sort it out. I mean, I'll just keep it somewhere because you can access online. So it grew up like that. And then it was, I think I opened it in 2013 or something. And kept it like that. And I was not actually like uploading like regularly, maybe once in a month to twice in a month or something, just whatever I'm doing. It was kind of people, like all my friends are like giving likes or whatever that time. I was not acting at a small circle, very small. And eventually when I came here, so I got some little more time because obviously of this work-life balance here. Because in Delhi or whatever, you're working maybe 10 hours. But here, when I came, so it was kind of, I have quite a long time after my work. So I started to do more details. So that time the team came, the first one, that got some attention. And after that, I think it grew suddenly from 500 to, it grew up to 5,000 or something. But yeah, then whatever I'm reading or how I'm connecting to the world, those things, I used to do it up more regularly after that. And it grew very fast after that, like last 2 years actually.
Right. And I have been a part of that journey, seen it go kaboom after a few cartoons performed extremely well. And then the journey has been one where it's up and onwards again. But what has always intrigued me is the why. A trained architect doing cartoons hardly touches upon the theme of architecture. Like, if one follows your works, it's much, much less of architecture and much, much more of a social commentary, reminiscing childhood memories, lot of current affairs and stuff, if I can say. So why this shift?
Yeah, actually, I haven't planned it. Like, it's just whatever happening around me, it's just a comment on that. It's kind of what I am watching, I'm doing. Maybe when I'll do more of like totally full 2-3 days in architecture, maybe I'll do something about architecture. But right now I try to like tell the normal people who don't know what architecture is, to tell them actually, like tell stories to them. If I tell something, it will be for everyone so that they can understand the language of the building, which will be very difficult to understand to a common person. So I think, yeah, and I think we need that narrative even more actually. Like, a lot of people still don't know about what architecture is. So I think we need to do those kind of things, and so that common people also understand some of the values of architecture.
I unanimously agree to this, because when the time comes to making common people aware of architecture, I think we are yet a long way to go. Like we, that is me and Orunabo at Sthaputto, has been trying to do some stuff related to this for the longest time now. We are idle for some good time, but our focus has been to tell people about the importance of design in the local language. That is, for us, it's Bengali. But because ours is a written content, blogs, long-form posts, people actually mostly lose interest because nobody wants to read much nowadays. Whereas when you're making a cartoon, it takes a split second to see, but it invokes a lot of words and feelings in a very small span of time, which I think is extremely effective.
Yeah, true. Yeah, like we are kind of an era where 1,000 informations in 2 seconds we have to grasp. Like we are just flicking around. So it's very difficult actually. But your work was very good. I told a lot of people about your work. Like the first one came with the Temple of the Bengal. I love that one. Yeah, but I think I should go into that part too. I never thought about I'll have some audience. Because it was only for making my diary kind of thing, whatever I am doing, I am uploading. But when I got the audience, I think it's my responsibility to do that.
Absolutely. I'd love to see you putting out some more posts trying to make people aware, educate them about architecture, what is and what is not, stuff like that, and similar. Well, another thing that I wanted to ask, what's with this firebolt humor of yours? I mean to say that, if you were in India, rather, or in West Bengal, and with the kind of works that you have put out in the past or the present, you'd probably have a high chance of getting detained or at least taken in for questioning. So, I mean, where did you get that?
That, I don't know. Maybe our college.
Oh, well, they say that Red Bull gives you wings. We both can say that B College gave us.
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell that when I got out of home and came into college, stayed in hostel, that's time actually we got our wings. We got our wings that time and everything that happened around that helped actually. Like in every aspect of our life, staying in hostel helped. I think that is the thing where we get the humor.
Absolutely, yes, definitely. Hostel gives us wings. Right then, okay. I mean, we can go back and talk about hostels and how our hostel life has been, but not here, not now. So, moving on, say next, a career out of making cartoons. And I ask this from the point of view of an architect who has the right skills to be a cartoonist. Illustration skills, right kind of humor and temperament. So, what do you think? Is it possible for an architect to become a full-time cartoonist? On that front, what is the scenario looking like?
Yeah, I think everything is obviously theoretically possible and actually possible too, but when we have actually spent 5 years of our life in a course and in our college especially, we know that everyone coming from a similar very middle lower middle class actually background, so when we already involved in 5-6 years or more, that maybe sometime when we are doing master 7 years into something, it's very difficult to get out of that and rewind and go to another field and starting from afresh. So it's kind of you have invested so much in that. So that is kind of a very difficult thing, I think, but still possible. But the first thing is if you want to make cartoons for a newspaper or something, they won't take you as a background from architecture at first. Once I thought when I was in Delhi, I thought maybe I can actually do cartoon every day, so maybe I could have a chance in Times of India or something. So and then the Times of India competition also came. I went there, I got in the top three, and I thought actually in the back of my mind that they may offer me a job about making cartoon every day, but actually they didn't, and nobody does, because Times of India may have one or two guy in the whole country, and they are doing it for 30 years 40 years. Actually, there is no job on that field. You can do other things, you can do cover pages, illustrations, but that is also lot of competition and a lot of the reward is not that great. So maybe that time when you are trying getting from architecture is quite better or could be better than what you can struggle in a design media. So that is kind of you have to balance with that.
So you would suggest that interested ones maintain a steady profession in architecture and then maintain a side hustle of making cartoons and then trying to do something in that? Because that's the kind of flavor that I'm getting from your response.
It's not like suggesting that. It's I didn't have that option. So maybe if somebody can they can go, obviously, if they think that they like cartooning more than architecture, obviously they can go. And when they have the full time of the day, obviously they have the more, they can imagine more creativity. And like, obviously I have less time for that. I have like really short time. Maybe I have 1 hour maximum or 2 hours for that. They can have the maximum time for that. But yeah, that's, but always you have to balance. But I am not that sure ever that I don't like landscape architecture or architecture. I always think of like in my mind, actually I like that too. Like, because when something comes on site, it's a different kind of like pleasure. Like, oh yeah, yeah, I designed this. That's a kind of a different kind of feeling rather than a piece of paper. Yeah.
Right. Yes. That feeling of seeing your designs getting built is definitely a different kind of feeling. So that's that. But again, I can vouch for the fact that every piece of cartoon that you're going to make is an absolute labor of love for you. So I won't even get into the mental satisfaction part, but I will come to the financials now. I mean, you got to have your stay and your food and a lot of other livelihood stuff. So say for someone wanting to make a living out of it, how does the money part work out?
First of all, I think the architecture financial gone really bad in India. Like when I passed in 2008, I actually received around 22,000 or something in Calcutta. And I talk to anybody, and they say no, that is not even now the case. It's like way less than that.
Haha. So last I took note of this, jobs that are paying anywhere between 8,000 to 12,000, or if you're lucky 15,000-16,000, is the going rate that's in Kolkata for a majority of firms. So
yeah, that used to be in Ahmedabad that time, but Calcutta and Delhi was quite good. So that is kind of a surprising. So I think if we do commit, I think we can have more than that now, like 8,000 or 9,000. I think more, we can have more than that now. I think it's, we have a better opportunity. Like in every illustration, like it is about your, how much time you spend, but still you can get maybe minimum 1K for any small illustration, like in a standard rate, Calcutta.
Right. Okay. I mean, it makes me sad. Look where we are. It's becoming painful for me discussing financials in this series. And I think I have just started this season. It's just episode 4. I plan to do 2022 plus. So yeah, but it is what it is. We cannot help it that much. But again, say, apart from a career as a mainstream cartoonist, what other avenues do you think we have here? Like say, I'm an architect. I want to pursue my art. And I don't want to practice mainstream architecture, but I don't also want to get out of architecture. So from that setting, how do you see the avenues shaping up?
Like how that Lee Ward is, they did, like he was my sept at the same time when I was, Anuj was there. So I've seen his passion on that. Like he always used to explore something on urban design or architecture. So, and he tried to do that, and he's quite successful on that part because he is collaborating with architecture schools, and then he's doing workshops. So that is kind of a good thing what he did, I think. Like he actually used those skills, and it's kind of taking that to the students. And yes, and students also can see that there's someone actually having a profession out of that, like what he likes. So that is kind of a good thing. But yeah, that is also a very small amount of people can do that, like that kind of thing. So, but there are a lot of other things too. They have a lot of different things, and we can go through that. That is a good recognition about the degree, and we can go to those design fields way better than a general architect. And then another is NID. NID is also a good thing, which I didn't know ever before going to Ahmedabad. And like their courses are superb design oriented, and they have a good like on-campus interviews, good company comes. And so those things I think we can explore. We can have our mind open to those subjects too, if we want to do it or go in media.
Right. I think that is a helpful piece of, say, advice for my listeners who are wanting to work in this field. Now, for someone who's starting out in this field, what would your top suggestion be? Say, someone who's making 10 or 20,000 a month, how to go from there to the game plan at, say, 50, 60, optimistic of about 90, 80,000, stuff like that. How to navigate the market and how to navigate the industry?
Yeah, Yashi, first, I think it's the learning, the scale is the most important. Like, when I used to do something in 10 years before, I used to think that is a good thing. But actually, when I go back to that, I think, oh, that's just so bad. How can I, not even a standard. So the first thing, I think we have to know about the standard. And now currently, it's not about this Indian standard or not about the local standard. It's about global. Everything have to be perfect. We have to match with every other part of the world, because some, like right now, someone sitting in Calcutta is asking someone in US to do some work. So you have to compete with everyone. So first thing is build your skill to that quite good level, like when you can match with every other possible competitions you can see, and then you can approach to anyone actually. And when you do that, when you know your skill is at that far, you can approach to anyone. You can just through Behance, through Talent House, they have a lot of competition. You have to win some. So I think, yeah, that could be a part, like going through competitions, win something, and you can, it just starts. And it's the practice which actually makes things better. Like the every day you need to do it, and eventually you get to that. Like it's that the 3Ds thing actually, go for excellence, you'll get it.
Very sound advice to my understanding. Right, cool. Now, moving towards the last leg of the discussion, and this is the one for which I am collecting raw, unfiltered responses from all of my guests. Say, for the future of the media avenues in architecture and design, we know that people doing the same kind of jobs tend to come together and associate. Let's say IIA, ISOLA, ADI, ITPI, and so on. But there exists no specific body for the design media professional still now. And that is my question. Say, how do you feel about an institution that looks exclusively at architectural media? I mean, is there a need? Should we be working towards something like this? What should be the agendas of such a body? Pros and cons, etc.
Pros and cons. I think there's too many stakeholders are involved in that. Like if we, from movies, maybe they won't even recognize our landscape architects. They think that is though we don't have any connection with that. Like we also think sometimes maybe movies, we don't have any connection with them. But actually, yeah, we are also inspired from them, but they are also inspired from us. So actually we are connected, but our bodies are as such, we feel that we are not connected. So it's a good thing, but the problem is how to do that, like who will do that? Because someone have to take the full responsibility and make all these things like circulate or whatever they communicate. So it can't be because everyone is individual and we're kind of a free parties now. Someone have to like do as a leader, which is very difficult because ours is kind of an autocracy, which we actually call it democracy. It's not democracy at all.
Absolutely. I think I shared the same thought with you about how we call it a democracy, but it is hardly that. But then, say, despite all that, we manage to pull an institutional framework through and we manage to land this on feet. So what would be the top focus of such an institution according to you?
So I think the good thing will be like to let people know these are the different kind of works you do. There are thousands of options on that. Like it takes like 30 years for a person to know about some scores in maybe media or some movies, which he can maybe he could be good if he went through that right path. But maybe it took 30 years or 35 years for someone to just know about that, oh, there is a course like that. My God. I think, yeah, let people know from very school level, actually, like on the like senior school level type, that these are the things available. People can go into these things. That is quite important. I think like here what I can see actually, like in Australia, the school syllabus it's very different than what we got. Like, they have so many options and they can see us. They don't have much ready or whatever we did, but they have so many options. So they say, whatever I've seen, like people, they just shift their profession suddenly. Like, they are maybe doing something on like 30 years, suddenly shift the profession. It's like one Olympian hockey professional, he got a bronze or something in New Zealand. And he became a studio director for a few days ago. And it's a shock. Like, how can this changes happen? So I think, yeah, so they have the opportunities. Though I sometimes think that our education was not bad. Actually, whatever we have went through, like our universities, they actually taught us quite well. Like here, universities are almost, they just give you submissions and will actually work in their whole studios or anything, they get the job like that. So it's not like full-time universities. So we have the opportunities, just we have to know about the thing.
Right. Awareness. I think I will go ahead with that and note that down as a major pointer. Now, before we close for the day, anything you'd say for my listeners? Tips, tricks, suggestions, closing remarks, anything that you haven't said and you want to say?
I'm not a good orator about those kind of thing, but I think it's like the practice makes things perfect. I think that is the main key. Eventually, it will surely take us there, whatever we want. Yeah, it's only the practice which can take us there. And I think things went better, whatever we have seen, like in some ways, like we didn't have any internet, good speed internet or something at that time. But now we have so many options on that. So actually we can match the global standard now because we have the options or connectivity to the world now better than ever.
Right. I think very sound words of wisdom. Thank you, Dada, for your actionable insights. I think we have discussed everything that we wanted to discuss in this episode. So yes, a big thanks to you again from me and my audience. Thank you especially for giving me your time on a weekend night.
Sunday night.
Yes. So thank you so much once again. A lot many episodes lined up. So folks, keep your eyes and ears open. Head to the description box for Mehfooz Da's bio and his social media links. Do follow our media handles as well. The description has all the links for you. And also do share this episode with your friends and foes. And do give everyone a chance to listen. So yeah, that's that. We are closing for the day. Stay safe and stay healthy. Till the next time, cheers.